Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what we're about to receive right now, Father. We expect you to move, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to dive right into it this afternoon. We started with chapter 1 on last week. Before we go into chapter 2, let's do a little backtracking. Who can tell me one thing that was said out of chapter 1 on last week? Not everybody wants. Go ahead. Good. Your prayers carry on even after you die. Give me something else. Go ahead. Amen. Now, I did that for a reason. It's one thing the apostle, he teaches us to make sure that we do, is that we're not here just teaching, just to be teaching. Everything we teach needs to be retained. You know what I'm saying? So we can apply it in our lives. So that's one of the things I practice on, that every time we get something, we ought to be able to retain it, have something in us that we know that we're grasping it. You understand? Now, while we're going into, get ready to go into chapter 2, I want to start off by telling you what we're doing here with the apostolic government. And I love examples. Now, I'm from the country. All right? I left the country, tried to be a city boy. I wanted to hang out with the big boys, you understand? But in the country, there was something we used to always do. We used to go to a big Momo house. We call it Momo. And as you know, when I was a little boy, that they didn't allow us to sit around the elder people. You had to go outside. You wouldn't sit around the old folk. With seasoned folk. And I ain't going to say old, seasoned folk. So what they used to do is they used to give us two coolers. One with Kool-Aid in it and one with water. You had no reason to come back inside. All right. But what used to happen was, my grandmother, they used to make Kool-Aid, but they used to make it in that big old silver pot. Now, how many of y'all know about that big old silver pot? All right? And they used to taste it. But what happened was, it didn't taste too sweet because all the sugar set at the bottom. So they had to take that big old wooden stirrer, get out off in there, and stir that thing. And what happened was, the sugar would rise to the top. The sweetness would rise to the top, so it became real good. That's what this apostolic anointing is doing for you right now. Everything that's down deep in you that's been hidden, the sweet part of your life, all the apostles doing these classes and this book on prayer is raising everything to the top so life would be a whole lot sweeter. You see that? Apostle sent a meditation out the other day about the fresh word. And as I got that, everything reverts back to, for me, reverts back to this class where we have to have a fresh word in order to pray freshly. Oh, man, y'all got to get that. You know, because we can't just be praying the same thing, repetitions every day, Lord, bless me, my phone, no more. But what happens is, you heard the apostle, we're going to look at it in a little bit, you heard the apostle, he said he spends more time praying for others than his own self. Now, what happens is, when you get that fresh word, I sense that fresh word, when you pray now, it causes a rumbling in heaven. Because they're hearing something they never heard before, that it's a new assignment they got to take care of, because they never heard it before. So, I told you, I'm from the country. I like referring things back to the country. You know, when you fry chicken, and when you get that chicken out that grease, when you get the first piece, it's hot. How you bite it, but it's hot. But it's good because it's fresh, you understand? Now, you let that thing sit around for a long time, that grease and sudden, put in the refrigerator and take it, it don't taste. Well, that's how your prayers are. It's cold. It don't taste right. But when you get a fresh word and get a fresh prayer, like hot, that grease hot, that prayer become hot. You see it? So chapter 2, we're going to dive off in. We're talking about the fire that consumes. Go to 1 Peter 1. The fire that consumes. As I've studied the apostle, as you study the apostle, I watch the apostle. As he's here on Sundays and Wednesdays, when he prays, when he travels, I'm watching. You hear him constantly say he can tell when the Holy Ghost is about to fall. See, there's a fire that begins to burn on inside him that gives him the ability to recognize something about to happen. Can I tell you something? It's not just for the apostle. It's for you in your life as well. That you know that when you're praying for your family, when you're praying for your wife, when you're praying for your husband, something will fall on you. When you begin to pray, something to start stirring you up that cause you to go farther, cause that prayer to enter to the ears of God. 1 Peter 1, we're going to look at verse 7. And it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, that through it be tried with what? Fire. Might be found unto praise and honor, glory, and the King of Jesus Christ. Before we start on this book, chapter 2, I want to deal with this fire. Fire, there's another scripture that talks about is what fire does. I love this example. Many of us are wearing gold right now, all right? But what you're looking at is not true gold, all right? Whenever they begin to make gold, gold is put under some intense fire. But when it's put under that intense fire, what literally begins to happen, as that fire becomes intense, it begins to boil. And as that fire boils in that gold now becomes transparent. It becomes clear. You can really see through it because gold in its purest form is transparent and clear. So what happens is, though, as that gold is under that fire, all those impurities, all that brass, all that zinc, and everything that's in that gold rises to the top. And now they skim all that bad stuff off, and they keep the good gold. Lord, have mercy. When fire hits your life, sometimes that fire hit to cause you to pray. And when you begin to pray, everything that don't need to be in you, God now can get out of you. And now when you begin to speak his word, now you can have it in the truest form. Were we praying right? Will we get a fire by praying? I'm training my little girl now. For you, every night before you go to sleep, talk to God. It's 5, 6, 5 years old, 6 years old. Talk to God. Tell him you love him. See, because she has to learn now to get this fire on her. Now, you don't talk to God just when you want something. When you need something, develop a relationship. You heard the apostle earlier. You got to know him. And prayer causes you to know who God is. Let's look at it. The first statement we're going to look at, it says, prayer has, chapter 2, prayer has an incredible power. Now, listen, they got some of the stuff you're going to get, like I get it from Dad. It ain't going to be in the book now, so you don't only look for it. Some of it is, some of it ain't. Prayer has an incredible power to arrest and change the purposes of God. Y'all got to catch that. Prayer has an incredible power to arrest and change the purposes of God. Now, that word arrest here literally means to stop, to prevent. So you got to understand, you have the ability through prayer, through what? To arrest and change the purposes of God. We're going to look at it through this entire scripture. All right. The stroke of his power is relieved by the prayers of righteous men. Say, I'm righteous. See, the stroke of his power in golf, when you swing at the ball, they call it, you're taking a stroke. All right? So as a righteous person, to stroke something means to take your hand and move against it gently. Ooh, Lord have mercy. When you pray now, as a righteous man, God now comes in and begin to stroke your prayer. He begins to take his hands and just move it in the direction it needs to go. Oh, man, you got to see it. When you take a stroke of that golf ball, you're trying to put it far. So when God comes in, he'll take that prayer and he'll stroke it and take it somewhere you couldn't have took it to. See, everybody can't drive like Tiger 300-something yards. But I tell you what, if you get God's stroke behind you, I can outstroke Tiger. Hallelujah. See, and what prayer does, if a righteous man just begin to pray, Lord, he just begin to stroke you like you do your child when he was a baby. You just stroke his head. You comfort him. Do you see it? All right. We can witness both the possibilities and the necessity of prayer. We can witness both the possibilities and the what? Let's deal with this possibility. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We can witness both the possibilities and necessity of prayer. Now, we're going to look at a scripture. We're going to see what happens sometime. in prayer, there are supposed to be what? As we see here, possibilities and what? Necessities. Prayer has a lot of possibilities in prayer. Then why we act like prayer can't do nothing? We even make silly statements. Or as my dad would say, asinine statements such as, I don't know what to do, but all I can do for you is pray. What you mean all I can do for you is pray? That's the answer. I can't help you, but all I can do for you is pray. What? Let's look at what's happening here. Psalm 78, 41. Look what it says. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and what did they do? Limit the Holy One Israel. What happens a lot of times when we pray, the reason why there aren't many possibilities in prayer are because we limit God in prayer. We limit God to what we believe he can pay a light bill. But we're afraid to pray when cancer on the scene. We turn back. We revert back to our old ways. And when we do that, we limit God. That's what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. They prayed. God was getting them out of there. And his wife, with the audacity, she turned around. The Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. See, God was taking them somewhere else, but she held on to the past. Prayer is trying to take you somewhere else. And when something hits in your life, when, as Dad would say, as life situations hit, you can't turn around. You can't start crying and not talking about, I don't know what to do. You're doing just what she did in Sodom and Gomorrah. You're turning back around on God. With the anointing you're getting, with the information you're getting, you're supposed to press forward all the time. Your prayer is supposed to get stronger and stronger. I believe every time we leave out of this class, something will be happening to you the next day. I believe that, man. If you apply this word. Now, if you apply the word, you're going to do the same old same thing. When we can witness both the possibilities and the sense of prayer, when we see how, in the following examples from the scriptures, the prayers of God's saints brought about a change in God's plan. Our first example of this is found in Genesis when Amalek had been smitten of God. And in Genesis 20, in your book, 20, 17 to 18 says, so Abraham prayed unto God. And what God did? Healed Amalek and his wife and his maidservant. Not just Amalek and his wife and his maidservant. And they couldn't have children. And now they got children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Amalek because of Sarah's, Abraham's wife. But the point I'm trying to make here is that when Abraham prayed, everything changed. I just told you, when a righteous man show up, you heard the apostle earlier, all God's looking for one man, one woman, who's not afraid to stand in the gap. Question for you, is it you? Is it you? God, who is it going to be going to stand for their ministry, stand for their pastor, stand for their husband, stand for their wife, to cause God to stand up on his throne and say, I got to do something about it? Who is it going to be? In another example, Job's miserable, mistaken comforts had so behaved themselves in a controversy with Job that God's wrath was kindled against them. Job 42, 8 and 10. Now watch what it said. But it was funny, we're sitting in class and the prophet started dealing with this. My servant Job shall pray for you. Now watch what it said. For him will I accept. Oh, you better hear him. He say, for him will I accept? Question. Is your lifestyle, is your prayer life, is your giving, is your love walk so pertinent to God that when you pray, he'll accept your prayer? Because it's an indication to me here, he said, for him I will accept. Apparently, it's some people's prayers he won't accept. Pastor teach the flip-flop method, right? So if he accept his prayer, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like thy servant Job. And the Lord turned the captivity to Job. Now watch, he said, when he prayed for his what? Friend. I believe that's one of the secrets to getting blessed. The apostle just said it earlier. Pastor, I ain't got time to be praying myself. I pray for you. That's the secret, man. When you start interceding and praying for other people, stuff for you just starts showing up. Yeah. I don't have time to deal with it. But there's a scripture. How long was that? You're going to know what I said. It says, the battle is not yours. It's the... Well, we missed interpreting that scripture, because if you go back and read that scripture, I wish I could get to it, but I'm going to go to it right now. What he was literally saying was, if you go back and read it, he's talking about position yourself. And what he was talking about was, listen to me, watch this now. This is how it is with the apostolic team, the apostolic ministry, when we follow the apostle. You may be dealing with something in your house, with your life, your situation. But the battle is not yours, it's the... When you go back and read that, go back and read it when you get a chance. What he literally saying was, they were talking about going to battle. In other words, when you go to battle with the apostle, pastors who got churches, they got members, they got church boys who got big churches in LTMA. But when they submit and follow a pastor all around the country, God said, look here, you go to battle with a Dr. Thompson, defeat them demonic financial demons everywhere y'all go, and watch this here. Because the battle is not yours, it's the... And whatever you battle with at home, I'll take care of that. So when you begin to pray for others, you battle for others. God says, now your battle, don't worry about it. The battle ain't yours, it's the... You just do what you need to do. God, do y'all see that, man? So when I begin to pray for my sister, for my brother, I don't know y'all, I don't know your situation. But if I'm sitting there and God give me a fresh word and God say, pray for Rod, I don't know what Rod's need. I'm gonna just pray. And if I'm praying for Rod, God say, while he doing that, I'm gonna take care of what he gonna need. The power of prayer. When Jonah tried to run from the Lord, he was in a dire condition. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest. When lots were cast among those aboard the ship, the lot fell upon Jonah, and he was cast overboard into the sea. Watch this here. Jonah 1:17, it says, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. What did the Lord prepare?
A great fish.
To do what? This ain't in your book, but write it down. There are things prepared for you that will cause you to pray. See, don't always think it's the devil. No. Something the Lord prepared, because you wouldn't have prayed otherwise. Amen. You wouldn't have fell down on your knees if that wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have sought God like you really should have sought God if that wouldn't have happened. Let's just be honest. They got certain things we prayed about. If that situation wouldn't have hit, I would have never prayed and would have never got the breakthrough that I did. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly and said, I cried by the reason of my affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and the Lord heard my voice, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah to dry land. You can write this down too for your note. Prayer, what is it?
Prayer
is the only weapon that can change God's mind. See, as we look at each one of these scriptures, each one of these testimonies, these men and women of God, each time you're going to see one little bit, that God had one idea, but when a righteous man or a righteous woman began to pray, that prayer changed God's mind. I told you, see, you crying ain't going to help. You can wallow, spit, jump up and down, do whatever you want, have hangers tied around you. Put a little thing over your head, stand against the wall, bump your head like you're praying in Jerusalem. You can do whatever you want to do. It ain't going to work. You can wear a Star David. You can have wristbands. What would God do? God can't fail. You can have your shirts on. You can do whatever you want to do. There's nothing going to change God's mind but prayer. Jonah prayed while he was in prison in the great fish. I told you, he wasn't praying before, but now he in that situation. Now he in the fish. Oh, he got some praying to do. Now he ain't got nothing else to do but pray. He ain't going nowhere. And when a disobedient prophet lifted up his voice in prayer, God heard him and sent deliverance. Then Jonah came to dry land, saved from the storm and the sea and the monsters of the deep by the mighty energy of prayer. Now watch this. Now we're going to look at Nineveh. It was the purpose of God, here it is, to destroy the great and wicked city of Nineveh. Yet, 40 days and Nineveh shall be thrown. In Jonah 3 and 4, was God's decree against the city. God was going to have them overthrown. However, Nineveh prayed, covered with sackcloth, sitting in ashes. She cried, mighty to God. What did she do? But watch this here. What the first thing she did though was she prayed. Nineveh prayed, covered with sackcloth, sitting in ashes, and cried while she was praying. So you cry, the cry didn't get his attention. The praying did. Because, see, we got it messed up in the church. We just started a prayer ministry, and they got a certain denomination where you pray all night long. You're supposed to be sweating and I come from, I told them the country. We just call it tarrying. So what happened, you can tarry, but if you're tarrying for the wrong reason, ain't nothing happening. What you doing, man? 2 or 3 hours, just crying. You got to pray, man. Lord, forgive me. Look. And after they prayed, she cried out. The Bible says she cried to God. And God repented of the evil that he said. What did God do? Repented and said that he would not do it unto her. And he did not. All because a woman, righteous woman, decided she was going to pray. She decided she was going to pray for the city. She wasn't going to let this happen. And because she prayed like she did, God said, you know what, I ain't going to do it. Lord have mercy. I just wonder, I shared with you last week, what would happen if we get some righteous men and women of God and just begin to pray for our country, pray for our ministries, pray for our families, pray for our children. That's all a story, I think, day before yesterday, might happen yesterday, I think, a little 6-year-old girl got gunned down and shooting her daddy. She's holding on to her daddy's leg and asking her daddy, was he all right, but she was the one hit. Beautiful little girl. All kind of crazy stuff happening, man. But we got the answer. We can't look to that government. The apostle tried to get us to hook into this apostolic government, because that's the government that can change anything with prayer. God is saying yesterday, today, and forever. If we're under a better covenant. If he did it for these people, the Bible says the prophets, they wanted us. Come on, man. Y'all ain't feeling me. They recognize the power we have, but we don't. And they did some great things. But the Bible said we are supposed to do what? Greater works. I believe them greater works is when we pray, something's supposed to happen, baby. I'm talking about we got to get to that point that when we pray, when you get up from your prayer, it's done. Because we connected. See, and then we can back up with the word that if this woman, if she can get God to change his mind about destroying a city, I can sure talk to God about helping me get a job. Alright. Watch. Pharaoh. He was a firm believer in the possibilities of prayer and his ability to relive, however you say it. While staggering under the woeful curses of God, he pleaded with Moses and interceded for him, entreat the law for me. I'm not going to go too for time's sake, but in Genesis 26:16, when that boy was doing great works, the Bible today was talking about, go from us. Because you're much more mighty than we are. You go back and read 26:16. Hear me, brothers and sisters. It's about to come a time. Nobody wanted to deal with the church. Nobody wants to deal with the apostle or the apostolic people he's training. But it's going to come a time when people are going to start seeking you out. Matter of fact, I hear you, Lord. The time is now. Family members are going to start seeking you out. Friends are going to start. The same people that laughed at you, that talked about you, you go to church too much, you're giving all your money away, them same folk will come crying to you, say, Lord, please pray for me. Please talk to my child. Please pray for my marriage. I see something going on with you. Please pray for me. The time is now. This is what this apostolic anointing is all about. This is what we've been trained for. This is what prayer is going to do. They're going to recognize that it's not me. It's the God I know that's working through me that's calling my prayers to work. And they're going to recognize something going on in my life. I'm telling you, people that didn't want you to pray, they go, hey, Lord. They don't want you praying at work. But believe me, they don't want you praying in schools no more. But believe me, it's going to happen. They don't want you, please come pray on the campus. Please, we don't want nothing to happen. Please come cover these children. Please come pray. Your boss going to say, look at the water cooler. Look, we can't do it aloud, but could you say a little prayer right quick? I'm telling you, man. But you had to put yourself in position. You got to be prayed up. You got to be stood up. You got to be a righteous person for God to change the situation. Yeah, I believe that. I believe it. Uh-huh. The blasphemy and idolatry of Israel is making the golden calf and declaring their devotion to it. Well, fearful crime. You go back and read Exodus. That's what began to happen. Now, watch what he says. The blasphemy and idolatry of Israel in making the golden calf and declaring their devotion to it were their fearful crimes. We have devotion to everything but prayer. Devotion. You're going to devote yourself to set that clock for 6:30 in the morning and be at work on time. You devote yourself to make sure you had that first cup of coffee every day to get started. You devote yourself that you're going to go to lunch. You ain't missing lunch. You're going to devote yourself. You're going to look at that clock. 11:36, 11:50. Matter of fact, you're going to leave 5 minutes early because the traffic is going to be bad. Oh, you're going to devote yourself to get your meal. Well, the point we're trying to make here is you must devote yourself to prayer. That has to be a part of your day. That has to be a part. That has to be your lifestyle. Good God Almighty. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Then he goes on to say, the anger of God waxed hot and declared that he would destroy the offending people. The Lord was extremely angry with Aaron. He said to Moses, let me alone that I may destroy him. Woo, Jesus. God said, but when I read, he said, Moses, and God said, let me alone that I may destroy him. When I heard that, I heard the apostle's tone when you read asking something. Apostle, can I ask him, what you want? I heard in that tone. God said, let me alone. I got something to do. I got to destroy these people. And I'm going to tell you what happened next week. Amen. God bless you. Shh, Jesus.